Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
Dr. Gina, it is good to see you. As always, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
52 days till the start of summer.
But who's counting?
I'm counting.
I know.
I know. We're in New York, so we're grateful for that.
Yeah. Yes, we do have some headlines to talk to you about. Specifically, these procedures at unregulated med spas are rising. We heard about the counterfeit Botox. Now they're investigating, the CDC's investigating an HIV cluster in New Mexico because of so-called vampire facials. Yeah. What do we need to know here?
Well, first of all, big picture, I think that people are always interested in a bargain. They're interested in convenience. And unfortunately, when you put those two things together, a lot of these day spas for beauty and aesthetics really can take advantage of people. And we're hearing with some dangerous consequences. So let me take you through it. When you talk about med spa safety, first of all, there should be an MD, a physician, overseeing that spa on a day-to-day basis. You should ask for that person. They should be able to be identified. Anyone who is administering wrinkle-relaxing injections like Botox, those neuromodulators, fillers, should have medical credentials. I cannot emphasize that enough. However, there are procedures that can be performed by aestheticians, non-invasive skin treatments, things like laser, radiofrequency, microneedling. You still should have that facility admit and comply with stringent health and safety standards. They should have licenses available and out, for you to look at. A red flag, any provider who is going to guarantee results and or downplay the risks or recovery time, promise you something that sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
That is good advice here, Doc. Yep. Thank you.
You bet.
Well, she is back. Let's check it out with ABC's Christian Cordero in Washington with a look at your latest headlines. Good to see you.
Good to see you, DeMarco. Hope you all had a great weekend. We begin with new developments overseas and new diplomatic efforts toward a ceasefire deal and hostage release deal in Gaza. Talks taking place again in Cairo with the U.S. and allies pushing Israel and Hamas to come to an agreement. As new Hamas video shows, 64-year-old Israeli-American Keith Siegel still held by Hamas, speaking under duress. And one of the world's most iconic artworks may be on the move. Officials at the Louvre in Paris say they are considering giving Mona Lisa her very own room. She gets 20,000 visitors a day. Officials are trying to alleviate crowding. Here at home, the new move just announced by Xavier University in Louisiana, launching what will be the fifth historically black medical school in the U.S. to train the next generation of black doctors and help alleviate shortages. And the deadly tornado outbreak in the nation's heartland. Ginger Z with the forecast.
As we go for the warmest of the year from here to New York City down to Washington, D.C., we've got to look back at what happened over the weekend. This is one of at least 130 reported tornadoes, this one with winds of at least 165 miles per hour in Sulphur, Oklahoma. And then this morning, waking up in Texas, some 8 to 10 inches of rain fell, so flash flood emergencies that made their way all the way into Louisiana. Tomorrow evening, late afternoon through the evening, you want to look out from Des Moines to Kansas City, Wichita, up to Sioux City and Sioux Falls. And then on Wednesday, Kansas, down into western Oklahoma, and the panhandle of Texas are all on the lookout for severe weather.
And in NBA playoff action, the New York Knicks winning a thriller in Philadelphia. Hot Jalen Brunson with a franchise playoff scoring record of 47 points. They're up 3-1 as they head back to the Garden. A few other highlights, the Clippers even their series against the Mavericks, and the Bucks bow to the Indiana Pacers. The Lakers and LeBron James in a fight to the finish tonight against the Nuggets in Denver. All this as a giant in the WNBA hangs up her jersey. Three-time champ and double MVP Candace Parker retiring. Las Vegas ace is moving on, guys. In her announcement, she said she promised to leave the game in a better place than she came into it. We see where women's basketball is today, right? There is no doubt about it.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Bravo to her for all that she has done. Yeah. Thank you very much, and good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Oh, there's much more ahead here on GMA3 on this Monday. It's just over a year since a Missouri teen was shot when he went to the wrong house. The ABC News exclusive on the family's next legal move as they fight for justice.
Don't want to miss that story. And later, is 60 the new 30? Well, how boomers and Generation X are given a new spin on growing older in today's Monday Morning Quarterback. Stay with us.
Welcome back to GMA3. It's been just over a year since Ralph Yarl was shot after mistakenly going to the wrong house to pick up his siblings. Despite being shot in the head and arm remarkably, the Missouri teen survived.
And now in an exclusive interview with ABC News, Yarl's mother and his family's attorney are announcing a new civil lawsuit against the suspect who shot him and the neighborhood's homeowners association. Here to discuss it all is ABC News correspondent Alex Perez there in Chicago. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, good to see you, DeMarco and Eva. It has been a long year of recovery for Ralph Yarl. His spirits remain high and his family remains focused on getting justice. And they say this new lawsuit is another step in that direction.
The shooting that gripped the nation as 16-year-old Ralph Yarl shot in the head and arm after he mistakenly knocked on the door at the wrong address.
For those of us who have gotten to see him the last year or so, describe how resilient is he?
He's very resilient, very, very resilient.
It seemed like the world stopped for the Kansas City family last April when then 16-year-old Yarl was set to pick up his twin brothers at a family friend's home. Yarl got the address mixed up and accidentally knocked at the home of then 84-year-old Andrew Lester, who told police he was startled by the knock and thought he was being robbed when he saw a black male approximately 6 feet tall pulling on the exterior storm door handle. He stated he believed someone was attempting to break into the house and shot twice within a few seconds of opening the door. According to court documents, he opened fire through a closed glass door, striking Yarl, who was unarmed. Yarl miraculously was able to run away. Injured and shocked, he tried getting help from neighbors, some at first turning him away, eventually others helping. The teenager speaking with our Robin Roberts last year.
I was bleeding from my head. I was like, How is this possible? Like, I've been shot in the head.
Had you ever seen that man before?
Never.
Were there any words that were exchanged before he shot you?
He only said 5 words. Don't come here ever again.
Lester was charged with one count of felony assault in the first degree and one count of armed criminal action, also a felony. He has pleaded not guilty and is out on bond awaiting trial later this year.
After reviewing all the evidence presented in court, the judge found the state had met its burden and set the case to circuit court where a trial can happen.
Frustrated by the slow criminal courts process, Yarl's family exclusively telling ABC News that a civil lawsuit against Lester will be filed today.
He's getting to enjoy his sweet old age in the comfort of his home. So we have to put some pressure somewhere.
Yarl family attorney Lee Merritt.
The only remedy available in civil law is fiduciary remedies, is a financial remedy. And so we are looking to essentially take the house from Andrew Lester. He cannot commit this kind of crime against a child and continue to be a homeowner in the region.
Merritt says they are claiming the Neighborhood Homeowners Association was negligent in their civil suit. The civil suit is seeking unspecified damages, Merritt says, and could get delayed until the completion of the criminal case. ABC News has reached out to the Homeowners Association. We have not heard back.
Unfortunately, we can't set the timetable for the criminal trial, and we're dealing with an elderly assailant.
The soft-spoken, good student who plays clarinet and sax in his high school band is now just shy of his 18th birthday, a senior headed to college in the fall. His resilience remains unshaken and only strengthened, his family says, by the thousands of messages of support they've received from around the world. A GoFundMe after the shooting raised more than $3 million.
It was overwhelming, very, very overwhelming. And I cried. I still cry.
That support in the face of the unthinkable, something Yarl and his family say will stay with them forever.
Alex is back with us, and it's nothing short of a miracle that this young man is still with us. How is he doing today?
Well, DeMarco, his mother tells me that he has finally come to terms with, accepted the trauma that this shooting caused him, and that his body and his brain right now are totally focused on healing. DeMarco?
Alex Perez, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up just ahead here on GMA3, is 60 the new 30?
Depends on who you ask, right? Well, stars like Vanessa Williams are sparking an age-old debate. Is age only a number? Let's talk about it in this week's Monday Morning Quarterback when we come back.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mike Muse joins us now with more. Okay, Mike, let's talk about
the right
this.
Person to talk to.
Yes, the never-aging miracle over
yes,
here.
Yes, yes. Let's go. First of all, what's up, twin?
I know, red. We've all got a little bit of red on today.
Yeah, we're twinning. I mean, what an incredible way to discuss age is through Vanessa Williams, who is about to star in the West End production of A Devil Wears Prada, which is going to be a musical. We hear that song, and for her to be 61 years old, that's an upbeat song that you can expect to hear at the club this weekend in New York City or whatever popular nightclub that you may go to. But the line that I really liked in there where she says is that, quote, they say the legs are the last to go. I'm going to keep dancing. I'm still putting on the show. I'm going to keep dancing. So not only is she telling us, but she's also too showing us too with that.
And her legs are
amazing. She doesn't look like she's 61 at all.
No, at all. And she's still feeling good. And it's a vibe, right? So mm-hmm. about vibing. And then you look at something that we saw over the weekend with John Bon Jovi, with the Michael Strahan special. Michael Strahan and Bon Jovi halfway there. He's 62 years old and did not look 62 years old. They're set to release their 16th studio album to still be making music at 62, 16 albums in, to be youthful, to still be outperforming and being mm-hmm. on the stage is something really special. Then we have a special treat, my mother.
Mama
Muse.
Hey, Mama. Let me see you, girl. Looking good, baby.
In the jean jacket.
In the
yes,
jean
ma'am.
Jacket, flexing on them at 80, traveling to London and to Paris. And so, again, it's this new mindset. 80, the new 60, mm-hmm. 60, the new 50, and maybe 50 to the new 30.
And speaking of mindset, a lot of people say, you know, if you feel young, you'll actually start to look young, but you still got to put in the work.
I was having a conversation this morning with our favorite Dr. Jen. And so she and I were just talking about more so about the mindset, but to still be thankful that, as she says, that they're still vertical, right? And
right.
still not have passed mm-hmm. away yet. And so they're active, they're working, right? We even have data from the US labor statistics that says that adults age 65 and older are projected to be 8.6% of the workforce in 2032, up from 6.6% in 2022. So they're still working, they're still thriving, they're still living, they're still enjoying their lives. And you know what's interesting, DeMarco and Eva? I don't even see the over-the-hill balloons that we used to see
you're
back
right
in the
about,
day.
You're right about
oh,
that.
Oh, I got one for my husband.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Eva.
I think their mindset is changing. Yeah. Like, you after 50, that's when life gets good, mm-hmm. right?
It does get
that's
better.
When you can afford stuff.
Yeah.
Mike, you, thank you again. So much. And if you would like to see the ageless rock stars we mentioned in the new event special, mm-hmm. Michael Strahan and Bon Jovi, halfway there, you can catch it on streaming. It's on Hulu right now.
All right, folks, we're back now with Dr. Jen, taking a look at a new report that shows how doctors are seeing more patients with eye complications due to an STI epidemic. What is this?
We're talking about the sexually transmitted infection, syphilis, which has been on the rise. It's still one of the less common sexually transmitted infections, and it can present anywhere from 2 weeks to months and months after skin-to-skin or close sexual contact, and it can have neurologic manifestations if it's the later stage form of syphilis. Doctors now are seeing eye manifestations, neurologic manifestations, severe headaches, atypical symptoms. bizarre eye symptoms. And most doctors, emergency room physicians, even gynecologists, primary care physicians, have never even seen a case of syphilis. So they're definitely not seeing these atypical, unusual, severe complications that affect the eye or the neurologic system. So I think when you talk about big picture here, it's not the only sexually transmitted infection. There is no stigma to this. There should be no stigma. It is so easy to screen for sexually transmitted infections. You can go to any clinic, you can go to any urgent care, you can go to your primary care physician and get simple blood tests. In most cases, syphilis, you can get a very simple blood test and find out if you have it. If you have it, this is a bacterial infection. It is completely treatable.
Okay. And just to be clear, because I think some people are gonna go, well, I don't have to worry about that, I don't have syphilis. Is it an actual STI in your eye?
It's a manifestation of the bacterial sexually transmitted infection. Mm. So it can present with neurologic symptoms, but it can also present with eye symptoms. So again, pregnant women are always screened, but anyone, male or female, can get a simple blood test.
We are listening, Doc. Thank you. Back in a moment.
A lion was born without a drop of nobility in his blood. A lion who would change our lives forever. Mufasa.
Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. That is an exclusive look at the new Mufasa, The Lion King trailer. The highly anticipated star-studded production, including Beyonce and her daughter Blue Ivy's big screen debut, with original songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda, coming this December.
Wow. And you already know it's going to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
With so many people.
Just saying it.
You know?
It's exciting.
I've always loved Lion King.
Yeah,
we
too.
All have.
Me too.
Let's take a look at some of the questions that are coming in for our viewers. For Dr. Jan right here, here's one. What are the risks and benefits of starting hormone replacement therapy post-menopause? It's from L.D. Peters.
Well, I love the fact that this question asked about both the risks and the benefits, because you always have to factor both of those, as well as options and alternatives, when you're talking about any treatment. Traditionally, most medical professionals talk to women about starting HRT, hormone replacement therapy, even before they go through menopause, right? Perimenopausal symptoms right around the time of menopause, average age of 51. It's much less common for a woman after menopause to say, should I be taking hormone therapy? Now, here's the good news. We know so much more about reversing that negativity that came out over 20 years ago in the Women's Health Initiative study that kind of turned the whole world against the option of hormone replacement therapy for women. So yes, even women who are 8+ years, 10+ years after menopause, if they're still having vasomotor symptoms, hot flashes, anything associated with low estrogen and progesterone, they should 100% talk to their doctor about pros and cons of starting it. Yes, there are risks, but there are also a lot of benefits.
Mm. Your prescription for wellness.
Okay, has to do with bone density testing, when to get that, when you're talking about osteopenia, osteoporosis, which affects both men as well as women. Anyone who's lost significant height, yes, that does happen with age, but you should not ignore that. If you've had what we call a low trauma fracture, so something that shouldn't have broken a bone, but has bone density DEXA test is pretty standard and easy to get. Someone who's been on long-term steroid medication, so this could be someone with a pulmonary condition like asthma, or if they've had acute or sudden hormone level drop at any point in their life. Average age for testing for women is 65. That's when it's recommended to start. I do not agree with that. I've always started screening my patients right around the time of menopause, but know your family history and those risk factors, super important.
What about men? When should men get screened?
There's no screening recommendation for men. So again, maybe we could do something about that, DeMarco, because men get osteoporosis as well.
All right, Doc, thank you very much. And folks, we would love to hear from you, so hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions for America's favorite doctor at ABC GMA3. When we come back, inclusivity in the spotlight. You're about to meet some great kids and their fans with a lot to cheer about.
And the remarkable B.B. Newirth sizzling on the Broadway stage and about to unveil the Cheetah Rivera Award nominees right here on GMA3. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jen Ashton, and here's my prescription for wellness on when to talk to your doctor about getting a bone density test or DEXA exam. First, if you've lost height, people who've lost at least 1.5 inches in height may have compression fractures in their spine, which could be a sign of osteoporosis. Next, if you've had fragility fractures, which occur when a bone becomes so fragile that it breaks much more easily than a bone would, we also call that a low trauma fracture. Also, certain medications can affect our bone density. Long-term use of steroid medications, such as prednisone, interferes with the bone rebuilding process, which can lead to osteoporosis. And finally, in addition to the natural drop in hormones that occurs after menopause, women's estrogen may also drop during certain cancer treatments. Some treatments for prostate cancer reduce testosterone level in men. Lowered sex hormone levels for both men and women can weaken bones and are a reason to get screened. And I'll have more tips for healthy living coming up on GMA3. We'll see you there.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, we're back now, and this is the time of year when cheerleading and dance both hit the world stage in Florida as fans cheer on the cheerleaders.
Yes, and as ABC's Victor Okendo discovered, the sport is now more inclusive than ever. Two incredible athletes and their moms reveal what they've overcome to clear the path to Paralympic gold.
Nice.
United States Eagle!
From the mat to the lifts, tumbles and flips, cheer is a sport that brings people together across genders, ages, and abilities.
This is fun!
And for athletes like Kennedy Elby,
oh yeah,
and Jaden Pierce,
USA!
An opportunity of a lifetime to represent the U.S. on the world stage.
I hereby declare these 2024 World Championships open!
At the International Cheer Union World Championships.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty awesome.
Especially for someone like me, who many people did not think that I'd be able to do this stuff.
Cheers have a huge impact just for Kennedy, for her confidence and for her communication skills and her socialization.
In 2023, USA Cheer was recognized as a sports organization by not just the Olympic Committee, but also the Paralympic Committee, giving the sport a much bigger platform.
That was good. Energy's good.
Lee Trudell is the director of Special Olympics and Adaptive Abilities Cheer Teams.
Why is inclusion so important?
Inclusion is important because it's part of the world, part of our everyday life. So it's just giving the opportunities for the athletes and the families to really showcase and shine on what they can do.
Hit your pose.
As a teen, Kennedy was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder.
We didn't actually know if she would be able to walk or talk at the beginning, so we didn't really know her future. She decided to try out for the high school cheer team, so that's where it really started to grow. And that became her whole entire world.
And would you say that cheer helped Kennedy?
We have a community now, and it is our whole world right now.
Arms up!
United States.
Small and mighty. He's a daily inspiration to me.
At 3 years old, Jaden lost his hearing from complications with a brain tumor.
He can endure just about anything and come out of it standing on top.
Jaden's mom, Angela, a cheer coach, encouraged Jaden and his brother, Bailey, to participate in cheer.
What kind of impact has this team had on your family?
A big one. He's had so many things to overcome. He wasn't swallowing. He lost his hearing. But throughout that process, you know, we saw how many times he wasn't necessarily included in everything equally with his peers. So to be able to be a part of something that promotes inclusion and everybody being side by side, equally important. Cheer has opened up a lot of doors to me in my life, and I think it's a huge blessing to watch it open up doors for my kids as well.
Through hard work and perseverance, both Jaden and Kennedy are part of USA Cheer, participating in the ICU World Cheerleading and Dance Championship in Orlando.
As long as they feel good about what they did on the floor, that's all we can ask of them.
At the competition, the USA Adaptive Abilities team taking home the silver medal, the Special Olympics team, two gold medals for POM and hip hop. A love for cheer and inspiring others.
I just want to say, don't give up on your dreams and your visions, because your current situation or what you think you can do shouldn't hold you back from what you want to do.
Red, white, blue!
USA! Paws up! Wings out! Woo!
Aww, yeah, talk about teamwork and building confidence as
well.
That's
what I love that so much. Yeah. And our thanks to Victor for that report. And our thanks to our intern, Gabriella Marinelli.
Nice.
She pitched and produced that story. It's her first one all by herself that has aired now on national television. So good job, Gabriella.
Yeah, that's a way to secure a job. Yeah. Let's go, Gabriella. Bravo.
Up next here on GMA3, it's Money Monday.
It sure is. And we have some ways to help you rethink how to finance that dream home. Money Rehab Podcast host Nicole Lappin is here next. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Growing concern over high interest rates and skyrocketing housing costs has many people looking for other ways to manage a mortgage in this current market.
It is a lot to take in, and here to help us find alternative options for financing that dream home is New York Times bestselling author and host of the Money Rehab Podcast, Nicole Lappin. Hey, Nicole! I love saying it. Always good to see you, friend. You just brighten up the room, especially with your knowledge here. So let's talk about this. A lot of first-time home buyers are, you know, feeling a little, you know, scary and frustrated about what's going on. So what are your tips? What are the options?
Yeah, it is scary out there, and a lot of people are opting for not vanilla mortgages. But with those exotic flavors, you want to make sure that you can take that flavor so you don't get financially sick. The first one to look at is an FHA loan, and this is for first-time home buyers. And this is for someone who doesn't have a bunch of savings in the bank or might still be working on their credit or doing a little credit rehab. They're very forgiving with your credit score, and you can get in for 3.5% down compared to 20% for a traditional mortgage. You just want to keep in mind that the max is $1 million for the most expensive areas of LA and New York. And also there's going to be insurance and other fees, so it could add to the overall cost of the loan overall.
$1 million gets you nothing in LA. Just a shell.
Not very much.
Yeah.
So let's talk about if, you know, for so many people, they're trying to get something. You can't really go back in time and get those old interest rates that everybody wants. What can you do right now?
The closest thing to time travel is an assumable mortgage. So this is where you as a buyer take on the whole mortgage shebang of the seller's mortgage. So their interest rate, those sweet, beautiful, low interest rates, the repayment terms, the amount of money on that mortgage. So if there's a discrepancy, though, between the purchase price and what's left on the mortgage. So let's say, for example, you buy a $500,000 house and there's $300,000 left on the mortgage. You're going to have to pay $200,000 to the seller because they already paid that into the mortgage. But if you can, then you get the $300,000 left on the mortgage for that beautiful, sweet, lower interest rate.
There's the old saying that says, don't mix business with pleasure. Well, a lot of family and friends are coming together and sort of pooling their resources to get into the housing game. Is it good advice?
Well, there's that adage, if you lend a friend money, decide what you want more, the friend or the money. And so I say no. No with the friend, but maybe with the stranger, because there are a lot of crowdfunding options right now. And this is not for your primary house, but this is for real estate investments. If you don't have enough money to spend on a real estate investment, you could put a little piece in for a slice of a real estate investment pie. You pick a platform online, you pick the amount you want to spend and the project. And if you do well, if that rental, let's say, does well, you get regular checks, or if that property sells, you could get a lump sum. But I don't want you to do this. If you need this money, this is money that you can live without, because it does take a while to get that money back or for somebody to take over that
investment.
But
all my friends are always like, you know, hey, let's go in together. Let's do this. Let's get that. And you say, no.
This is a whole other segment.
Do you think, though, for people who are looking for houses right now, I mean, it does feel real overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like, is there hope that you can find something that you can afford?
There is definitely hope. And also there's seller financing. These are rare deals, but instead of going through the bank, you can negotiate directly with the seller. And this is for people who might not qualify for traditional mortgages. They could get lower closing costs, potentially lower interest rates or deferred payments. But remember, if you're going to negotiate with like seller Bob and not deal with a big bank, if something happens to seller Bob, like, then something happens to your mortgage and your house. So you just want to be careful with all these other options too. But there are other options.
Yeah, Nicole, nice. Always with the good advice. Thank you so much.
Nicole.
And you can check out Nicole's podcast, Money Rehab, available right now.
Always good to see you, my friend. Thank just you. Ahead here, the curtain is about to go up on some top Broadway talent.
The one and only Bebe Neuwirth joins us with the Cheetah Rivera Award nominees. So exciting. Stay with us.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Please welcome the legendary Bebe Neuwirth. It is good to see you.
Thanks
for blessing us with your presence. So tell us about the awards, the history behind it, and when did it start?
Well, the Cheetah Rivera Awards recognize excellence in dance and choreography on Broadway and in film. And it also raises money for scholarships to help young students through the New York Dance Alliance.
And I was reading, you have a little bit of a special history with Cheetah Rivera.
You mean that I loved her with all my heart, as everyone did? Cheetah created some of the greatest roles in musical theater, and I've been able to play some of those roles. And she is was one of the most generous, kind, brilliant, hilarious, wonderful people I've ever been blessed to know. Mm-hmm. And the way she made you feel great when you saw her on stage, that's how she made you feel if you were just sitting around backstage with her too. She was something else.
So great.
Compliment there.
Well, and we are honoring her today with these awards. So Let's get right to it because We want to see what these awards. The first category is Outstanding Choreography in a Broadway Show. Bebe?
Okay.
The honor is yours.
Exciting.
Outstanding. The nominees for Outstanding Choreography in a Broadway Show are Hell's Kitchen, Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, The Outsiders, and here's a joint nomination of The Heart of Rock and Roll and The Who's Tommy, Illinois, and Water for Elephants.
Pretty nice. All right, next up, Outstanding Dancer in a Broadway Show.
Those nominees are Antoine Boissereau, Water for Elephants, Ben Cook, Illinois, Chloe Davis, Hell's Kitchen, Gabby Diaz, Illinois, Tilly Evans Kruger, The Outsiders, Rachel Lockhart, Illinois, Philip Johnson Richardson, The Wiz, Byron Tittle, Illinois, Ricky Ubeda, Illinois, Avery Wilson, The Wiz.
All so talented. Okay, the next category, Outstanding Ensemble in a Broadway Show.
Okay, the nominees are Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, Hell's Kitchen, Illinois, The Heart of Rock and Roll, The Outsiders, and Water for Elephants.
And finally, Outstanding Choreography in a Theatrical Release.
Those nominees are Barbie, Carmen, Color Purple, Mean Girls, Wonka.
Bebe Neuwirth, thank you so much. The Cheetah Rivera Awards will take place May 20th, and you can catch Bebe at Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, playing now at the August Wilson Theater.
And good luck to everybody up for an award as well.
And that's what you need to know for today. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
I'm DeMarco Morgan.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ashton.
For all of us here at ABC News, including the legend Bebe right here, have a good one, and we will see you tomorrow. Whoa.
married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.